Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where it is dark, wet, cloudy, and ominous. A foreboding look outside, with the trees nearly bare and a hard winter coming upon us. There's more than a hard winter. We really are facing a crisis in leadership that really is an unprecedented thing. I see in the polls where 50% of the people believe President Obama out and out lied about if you like your health care plan, you can keep it, period. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. Well, the truth is, he did lie. It isn't whether you believe he lied or not. He did. It doesn't matter if I believe whether it's raining outside or it isn't raining outside, if in fact it is raining outside. It's either true or it isn't. I either agree with the truth or I disagree with the truth for some reason. Now, there are 40% of the people who do not believe he lied. Why would that be? A substantial number of them are ignorant, and because he's the president and probably because they voted for him, they just choose to believe that he wouldn't lie to them. I get that. But it shows they aren't paying attention. And an uninformed citizenry, very unstable democracy. You can't willingly, knowingly, be ignorant of reality, swear that a deception is the truth, and be okay. It doesn't work. It never has. It never will. Of course, the stuff about the Obamacare isn't the only time President Obama has lied. He's lied consistently throughout his presidency. And I don't believe that I'm an increasing number of people are coming to realize that. You don't hear people extolling Obama's virtues to the extent that they once did. There are just too many things that he does that are wrong and that are so self-serving. For example, when he was on, today is the 58th anniversary of Rosa Parks refusing to sit in the back of the bus. President Obama honored this occasion by sending out a tweet about how courageous the woman she was, along with a picture of himself sitting in the seat on the bus that she occupied in the Smithsonian. The actual bus is there now, and he went over and had a photo op where he's sitting in the seat. So to honor her, he gives a picture of himself. What person does this? Richard, you're on the line now. What kind of person does this?
Well, I tell you the truth, Jack. I wish he had honored Abe Lincoln by getting up there in the and have somebody shoot at him. But I guess that didn't happen. That's right. His website demanded that he couldn't do that. Oh, but he did spend the weekend in California smoozing
the money makers, wasn't he? Yeah. Now that's
that's,
you know, they
much
have these things now, Jack. They have these things now that you can do with your camera, and they even have it just went into the dictionary. They're called selfies. You take a picture of yourself, and they call them selfies. I think they should start calling them Barackies.
Well, there you go. I kind of like that a little bit. You know, in the real clear politics average, those that think Obama's doing a good job right now are at 40% on the nose. Those who disagree that he's doing a good job are now 55.6%. That's a 15.6% gap. And this is the average of all the polls that are taken. I mean, there is The Economist has his approval at 37 and his disapproval at 58. It's a 21-point gap.
Well, how many people do you think that they interview, and I'm not sure if they – you know, if they go across the gamut or not, but how many of those people do you think that are on the dole and think he's doing a good job because he's giving them a check every month for doing nothing?
You know, I don't know. The samples that they use are right around 1,000.
Do they ask them if they're working or not? I'd be interested in the questions they ask them. No.
Well, as far as determining, I would love to have one that just started out with the first question and says, "Who is the Secretary of State?" And then just ask that question. And then put everybody that says, okay, and then ask the next question, what is your, do you approve of President Obama's job and what he's doing? And, you know, and then factor it by how many know who the Secretary of State is. And
well, no, you can't do that, though, because then you lose a lot of them because they have no idea. What you do is you say,
Dick, you keep everybody that answers, whether they answer it correctly or not. If the ones that answer incorrectly, what percentage of them think he's doing a good job, as versus those who actually know who the Secretary of State was. It wouldn't have to be the Secretary of State. It could be, you know, that's just a pretty good one because that's something
What I was going to say is you asked the question, like, how do you think Sarah Palin's doing as Secretary of State, and see how they answer it. I guess that's on the same idea, though. Do you know who it is or not, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that the problem from Obama's perspective, once half the people know you've lied and are sure of it and hear it repeated, you know, I mean, how many times? I mean, he said it like 30 different times, and you hear it all the time. If you lied to your health care plan, you can keep it. Same thing with the doctor. That is in the minds of people, and it's gotten in there so deeply that I don't believe once somebody knows you're a liar and you ask them something, how do you believe them again? How does that work? I don't think that it can. Now, on the talk shows, David Plouffe, who used to work at the White House, you know, to one of Obama's just key people, said, oh, he's going to be able to turn this around. and regain the trust and confidence of the American people. Well, how
it's
are you going
lie.
To do that? How are you going to do that? I mean, I would put that along with, with an ad that says, Hillary Clinton's one of the most caring people in America. And then just follow it up with, what difference at this point does it make? Who cares? Yeah. They're dead. And that one little sentence that was calculated by her to end the thing is going to keep her from winning the White House. Because that is such callous, unfeeling for somebody that she had direct responsibility for.
Right.
It'll keep her out. Now, where Obama's concerned, it's what it reminds me of is a guy who, goes out on a binge and has an affair with a woman that comes back to his wife, please, honey, give me one more chance. I'll never do it again. How many times will she believe him? Now, women that have kids and things like that, a lot of times, for the sake of the family and because of not wanting to be single and because of codependency and all of those things, will, let the guy back in. But she doesn't believe him anymore. Whether she says that she does or not, there's that part of her that, that absolutely doesn't. When it comes to a president, it's a little different. The people on the left were, they were just vitriolic about George Bush. But because Bush was president and he was somebody that I voted for twice, I really didn't pay the kind of attention to what he was doing that I have paid to Barack Obama. So the people on the left now just kind of try not to pay any attention, thinking, well, we've got our guy in there. And they just kind of a little bit try and believe him. But if you notice, there are not great defenders for Barack Obama much anymore. When somebody does, they just get pounded. For example, Nancy Pelosi saying, that Democrats should be proud to stand by the Affordable Care Act. It's almost like, what world are you living in? Nobody's going to be able to, stand by the Affordable Care Act. They're running away from it. And Obama is doing everything he can to try and put different groups into, to where things don't occur until after the midterm elections next November. He's doing this because as soon as people see that their premiums are going to go up from $412 a month to $950 or $2,000 or whatever it is, even if they are great liberals, it's like, holy Toledo, what in the world is this and where is this money going and why? And I like my health care plan just fine. Well, it's substandard, according to Obama. It's substandard because we don't have abortion benefits. We don't have mammograms for men. We don't have birth control pills. Like, somehow we need these things, and yet we have to pay for them for other people. People don't want to do that. People aren't willing to do that. Why?
You blame them?
They be.
You blame them?
No.
I don't blame them.
No, absolutely.
I want to pay for what I need, not for what everybody else. I don't want to pay to have somebody have contraception. It just goes on and on and on and on. And the last time I checked, I don't think I need a mammogram.
Ain't it the truth?
Hmm.
Or on the other hand, women, being required to have in their health care plans, a yearly prostate examination. They don't need that. At least last time I tried to figure it out, they don't have one. But all of this is to just try and amortize things, to just kind of bring it down to one size fits all and make it a vast increase in government. And, the people really don't want it. It's why in 2010 the House went to the Republicans, because when Obama came in president as a liberal Democrat, the House was liberal Democrat with Pelosi running it, and the Senate was liberal Democrat with Harry Reid. Now, the Senate is still liberal Democrat with Harry Reid running the show, but there are Democrats now who are up for re-election, and they are having a hissy fit about what is going to happen, to them, come the midterm elections. And you can't blame them. Now, they're all like, well, we don't support some of the things that are going now, but they voted for Obamacare, and they're going to have to stay with it. So there's some, there are some races that are definitely up in the air. There's Iowa, I think, is going to be in play for the Republicans. So Louisiana, Mary Landrieu is going to be in she's going to be out. I don't believe that there's any chance that she's going to be able to hold on to that seat. I'm wondering if they'll even be able to keep Michigan. And then Montana is an open seat, and with the Democrat retiring Max Baucus, that's going to turn for the Republicans. And Maine.
Where's the Senate sit right now? How many Republicans and how many Democrats? I mean, there's 100 total, but what's the breakdown?
Yeah, 44. It's 54-46.
54-46.
Yeah. So there has to be
50-50.
There has to be a net pickup of 5, or it might be 55-45. I'm not absolutely sure about that. Let's just say that it's 55-45. That would mean that the Republicans need to pick up 6 seats. There are 33 up for grabs, and a bunch of them where there are Democrats in states that both McCain and Romney took. For example, North Carolina. Now, Obama took North Carolina the first time, but, Romney took North Carolina the second. North Carolina is a seat that should be picked up by the Republicans. Louisiana is a red state, period. Period. And Landrieu, who makes a great Miss Piggy commercial. I mean, every time you look at her, she looks more like Miss Piggy and acts like Miss Piggy. I think she's going to lose. Mark Pryor in Arkansas, I don't think he has a chance of winning that seat. The Montana was I mean, they aren't even going to campaign, the Democrats, hardly there. Max Baucus was a Democrat, and he is retiring because he knows he would get defeated, and the Republicans are going to take that one for sure. Those are four pickups, and you know they've got to hold the other ones. You know, are they going to be able to hold Maine? That, you know, that kind of, who knows about that. Michigan, you know, that's a Democrat now, and it's an open seat. They'll probably, the Democrats will probably, might hold that. I mean, but who knows? Now, you know, South Carolina will stay, you know, will stay with the Republicans, and, you know, Colorado has a Democrat, and I think that it's going to be hard for Colorado to keep it there. The people in Colorado are up in arms about all the stuff that's happening. I mean, Iowa. I think there's a good chance that Iowa could go for the Republicans. You know, Illinois, Dick Durbin will keep his seat for sure. But you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. This is the time, you know, and I'm not really just super gung-ho for, you know, well, I'm a Republican, this and that, as you know. But they surely come closer most of the time to doing the right thing, to being economically responsible, to, if not make government smaller, at least not make it a whole lot larger. But, you know, Obama and his crew, they want to absolutely take over, you know, this one-sixth of the economy and let the federal government, you know, run it. And I think this website is really interesting because they spent this $634 million and it didn't work. I've done websites. I don't think that, I can't imagine what would be required to spend $634 million. I just can't imagine it. I don't think that Amazon costs anywhere near that, or Google, Yahoo, any of them, none of them cost that much. Now that, you know, with all the business they do, they're obviously worth a lot more now, but that's what business is about. But it didn't cost anywhere near that. And you know what? If the administration had been smart, which they're not, and if they were capable of administrating the, you know, this large part of the economy, they would have said something like, okay, the most important thing to do is to, we have to have people have their first experience be a good one. What do we need to do, and who needs to do it? Well, who are the people that do the best websites? Oh, I think we ought to go to, Google or Amazon, or get the people at Microsoft, or get the people at Apple, get the people at Yahoo. I mean, any of those people would have been able to do that website for them for a tenth of what they paid, done it in a tenth of the time, and have it work and be a good experience. This was nepotism at its worst for Obama. It's Michelle's college roommate is the big person up there, and, you know, they got a no-bid contract. No-bid contract. I thought that was against the law for the federal government to have a no-bid contract. Plus, Valerie Jarrett's daughter and son-in-law worked for that outfit, too. It's like, oh, you know, we'll just rip off the American people for another half a billion dollars. But oh, what happened? it came back to bite them in the butt because it was, it showed their incompetence, that they do not know what they're doing. All they're interested in is power and the use of power, but not the responsibility of power. I mean, Obama just isn't responsible when it, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff. Did you hear today that in, you know, to try and cut some of the costs from the military, that they're changing the healthcare policy to force veterans and retired veterans into Obamacare, but they're exempting union defense workers that work in the Defense Department. Those people that are in the unions, he's protecting. Everything he does is to take care of his people. It never changes. It never stops. He's never embarrassed about it. When he gets caught, you know, he whines a little bit, and then, you know, if somebody says no, he throws a little tantrum, closes down the parks, closes down the White House. No, you can't come to the park. No, you can't go on a tour of the White House because he didn't get his way. And this is the leader of the free world. Holy, you know what? Are we in big trouble? You bet. Calls Netanyahu and tells him to give it a rest. Literally, he told the president of Israel about his complaining about the Iran nuclear program to, quote, give it a rest. That sounds like a guy who's tired of his menopausal wife, you know, bitching at him. Give it a rest. Okay, I get that for that response. But in international politics, to tell the president of one of your key allies that, when it the thing that is the greatest concern to them is that Iran's stated policy is to blow them off the face of the earth, and he says, give it a rest, because he doesn't want to, Obama doesn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Believe this stuff? It doesn't stop. It just goes on and on and on and on. The only good thing is that, and there are some good things happening in America. I mean, this discovery of the shale oil is going to make us energy independent in a few years. That's going to help our economy more than everything Obama can do to screw it up. He had nothing to do with it, but of course he wants to take credit, because he always takes credit, even if credit isn't due. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that are going on. In the midst of all this, we have another tragic thing. The the Texans have accused the Patriots of cheating in the second half. I will just quote LaDainian Tomlinson when they were asked about some spying several years ago. LaDainian Tomlinson's response was, "Well, if you aren't cheating, you aren't trying hard enough." I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Anyway, we're out of time, Richard, so we'll talk next week. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Keep on, folks. We're going to get through this.